Thank you, Paula. Good morning and welcome. Sorry for that slightly late start on today's episode 80. Our insiders were not quite finished with their work, so if you are just dialing in at 10:10, you've got just the last little bit of the insiders portion, and welcome. We're so happy to be sharing this with you today, overcoming our technology issues and getting busy with our answers to questions. And actually, I think we might be bringing up questions in your mind, too, I hope. So be sure and share some of those with us. We do need your questions. And whether you would like to be anonymous or whether you would like to use your name and be in the running for the mug, either way is wonderful. We appreciate that. We just love having you involved here. And I see some new numbers dialing on. Before I start in with the questions, I want to let you know that if you would like to be texted to be reminded about dialing in, then send us an email, call us at the office, reach out to us in whatever way you normally communicate with aq-iq.com, and let us know your text number, and we'll add you to the list. You'll receive a text within an hour of the start time so that you'll know, hey, today's the day, and I don't want to forget. So thanks for joining today, being with us, and those of you who are insiders, you're awesome. Everyone on this call is awesome, because if you weren't awesome, you wouldn't be dialing in. Ha ha. So glad you're here. I'm going to go ahead and did I have anything else to tell before I turn?
Pam, just for the people who are new dialing in, let them know how to be insiders if they're coming in at 10:10, just quickly.
Yes. Okay, so the way to be an insider, there's two different sets of insiders, okay? It's fluid, and basically you can join us on social media by sending in your mugshot. We have a private Facebook group. We have a public one. And then we have a private one for those of you who are insiders, and you're welcome to join in. The price of admission is your mugshot. And like I mentioned earlier to the insiders who were actually on the call at that point, your mugshot is a selfie with us. So you can, anything that you've purchased from AQIQ, our website, our name on a piece of paper, something in the picture with you, if you've been a winner of a mug, take a picture of you and your mug. That would, all of those things would qualify as a mugshot, and get that to us in the way that you normally communicate with us. We will post it on social media and on our website because we're so excited to have all of you as friends. The other way to be an insider, because I know there's some folks here who just don't do social media, and but they really would like to know everything, because that's what we're about, learning everything there is that we could possibly assimilate. And the way to do that is to dial into the same number, 712-770-4160, at 10 a.m. instead of 10:10. So just dial in 10 minutes early and be an insider.
And awesome. Yay. Thank you.
All righty. Let me start out. I've got a couple. Today's show list has anonymous questions. So if you dialed in at all and this system grabbed your phone number, I'm writing your number down while Paula's talking. And at the end, I'm going to call out a phone number for someone, not the whole number, just the last four, for someone to win today's mugging. Okay? So this first question is anonymous from a pathology practice. And the person asks, if multiple polyps on a single site are removed and biopsied, they're placed in one container. Does pathology bill the quantity of one or the actual number of things inside that one container?
Okay, awesome. Thank you, Pam. So we started searching for this, and the first thing that you have to understand when you're billing for pathology, surgical pathology, is we went to the AMA CPT assistant first, and we actually found most of our answer there, actually, and then, you know, did some other searching as far as some of our resources that we have. But the first thing wanted to know is, what was the definition of a specimen? And that is tissue or tissues that is or are submitted for individual and separate attention, requiring individual examination and pathologic diagnosis. So now, according to the CPT assistant, it says coding for gross and microscopic examination of each specimen, a separate code should be used to report each additional service provided. So each specimen is separately reported. The unit of service for surgical pathology codes is a specimen. So you would ask or review maybe the pathology report to determine the number of separately reportable specimens. sometimes the tech in the OR might cut the removed sample into pieces. If the pieces are identified as a specimen, they are reported as one surgical pathology code. If they are identified as specimens with a plural with an S or put in separate containers, and the containers don't matter. It's really how they're identified as specimen or specimens. Make sure there is, of course, medical necessity if they take one, particularly if they take one lesion removal and cut it into pieces and put it, you know, identify it as multiple specimens, then each can be reported, but there should be medical necessity to do that. So why are we evaluating all of them if it's the same specimen? Now, when you have multiple different lesions, then of course you can understand that would be separate specimens. So putting them all in the same container, there needs to be some identification to the pathologist that they should be specimens, not just one specimen. So again, I'm looking, as we started to research this could actually be a good area of audit. So please, you know, just really evaluate that the medical necessity is there for any specimen that is reported so that those can individually be reported by the pathologist.
Thank you. Okay, now I've got another one. This one is from an outpatient hospital. What documentation requirements are there for using the CPT code 76937?
Okay, good. So far, two CPT questions. So first of all, for those who don't know CPT or know this code, 76937 is for ultrasound guidance for vascular access requiring ultrasound evaluation of potential access sites, documentation of selected vessel patency, concurrent real-time ultrasound visualization of vascular needle entry, with permanent recording and reporting. And this is an add-on code, so it's listed in addition to the primary procedure code. And if you're looking in CPT, there's a big list of codes that it would be reported with. Now, of course, as the code description states, it does require permanent images of the items noted in the code. That was, number one, vascular access sites, as well as documentation of the selected vessel patency, concurrent real-time ultrasound visualization of vascular needle entry. This means there should be documentation of the process, either in a procedure or an operative report or in a separate note. When ultrasound is used just to identify a vein or access site and then the ultrasound guidance is not used for the puncture itself, you're not going to use 76937. This code applies only to venous procedures and is described by one of the Medicare contractors as includes pre-access assessment of venous patency, the real-time visualization of needle passage to the venous lumen. It includes all phases of the actual guidance, documentation, and reporting, so there's not separate codes for each of that. And, of course, documentation should include the guidance used, which would say ultrasound, the vein or entry site, if it was the catheter, whether it was tunneled or non-tunneled, if there was a subcutaneous pump in place, you want the final catheter tip position, and the patient's age. All of those are relevant to coding an encounter that uses 76937. So thank you, Pam. We have another one?
Yes, I was just going to say, do we have time for one more?
Let's go ahead and do it.
Okay, this one's from an inpatient rehab. They have a patient with this set of diagnoses: left occipital subdural hematoma with brief loss of consciousness, bilateral frontal intercerebral contusion, bibasilar skull fracture. And the person was given S02.109A and S06.5X9A to be used as the EDI. The IGC is 2.22. He said, I think I'm only supposed to use S06.5X9A and S02.109A would be a comorbid condition. Am I correct?
Okay, so this is a good question. And EDI is etiology diagnosis. So basically, let me define those codes for you guys on the line. So S065X9A is the traumatic subdural hemorrhage with loss of consciousness of unspecified duration. And S02109A is the bibasilar, which means base of the skull, fracture for unspecified because the laterality was not documented. So the 109, the last character 9 says unspecified rather than right or left. Excuse me. But there are actually two more codes that should be considered. And because you indicated that the injuries were the left occipital subdural hematoma with brief loss of consciousness, the bibasilar frontal intracerebral contusions, and the bibasilar skull fractures. And so we missed the bilateral frontal intracerebral contusions. We could also report those. And there's actually two codes for that. You've got S06319A because we don't have a bilateral code, contusion of the right cerebrum with loss of consciousness of unspecified duration, and S06329A, contusion of the right cerebrum with unspecified loss of consciousness. Now, the most severe injuries are going to be considered first for your etiologic, and you have three spaces for etiologic. Now, when we're in coding school, we're kind of taught to report those injuries from inside out, top to bottom. So you would start with those injuries on the inside first. So we're going to report that subdural hematoma and the intracerebral contusions as our etiologic, and we're going to report the skull fracture as because it's not going to be, I mean, it is a focus of care, but it's not as severe as those other issues causing problems with the brain internally. You would report that skull fracture with the seventh character of D as in dog as a comorbidity. So that said, Pam, I think we got it all in, and it's time for our mugging.
Yes, it is. Okay, so I've been writing down phone numbers furiously while you're talking. And so a few of them I actually recognized, and so many new people today, so that's awesome. So let me see. I've got them under the desk. Let me pull out a name and see who we get. Okay, so we have someone that we've met. Her name is Carolyn. I will be calling you to let you tell me where to send your mug. Congratulations, Carolyn. Thank you all for being here for episode 80. Episode 81 is on the 27th of January, two more weeks, and we'll be sending out reminders. Do reach out with your questions and everything else. Thanks so much for being here. Have a beautiful day.